Time is running out for Congress to review and repeal regulations passed in the waning days of the Obama administration. But changes in how the government goes about regulation are still happening on two other fronts. Congress is considering several reform bills, and agencies are supposed to be complying with the Trump administration's Create One, Kill Two order. Joining me with an update on what it means for contractors, Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. Alan, good to have you back.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
So the legislative front looks particularly busy. Run down some of the bills that you feel look significant there.
There's certainly a renewed effort on regulation. Call this the second phase of the new Congress's attention to regulation. The first phase was action on the under the Congressional Review Act. This is to change the underlying regulations, both in the Administrative Procedures Act and those governing the federal procurement rules, and how the agencies can go about writing regulations in the future. Some of the initiatives would require agencies to have greater transparency and accountability in the rules that they write. Some of the legislation would require the agencies to do a much better job of cost and benefits, not just on the instant cost of the regulations, but what is the impact on the economy. One bill would require Congress to affirmatively approve any regulation that has an impact on the economy of greater than $100 million. Now, can you imagine what the likelihood of congressional action would be when it required legislation to approve major regulations? I think all of these show two things. One, a congressional frustration with the way the regulatory process has been going, and this is not a Republican-Democrat one, it's just more executive-legislative. And secondly, to undertake a careful review of how rules are written across the whole range of the economy.
Yeah, there's one bill here that has just cleared the Senate Homeland Security Committee, and that is the Early Participation in Regulations Act of 2017. And that had an 11-3 vote. Some of them were closer, like 8-6. So there is both sides of the aisle, at least in part, are supporting some of these gambits.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that the regulatory process that the agencies have been following for decades can be updated, modernized. Early engagement to make sure that there's stakeholder reviews before the agencies put their pen to paper. That's the early engagement. Another bill that the Senate Homeland Security Committee approved last week would require greater attention to the impact on small businesses. Again, strong bipartisan support. We've endorsed similar legislation that has passed the House of Representatives. But in the procurement area in particular, my own personal view, I believe it's supported by our members, that we need to watch carefully in how we create and craft the regulatory environment. In many areas, we've been a proponent for regulatory change as a way of motivating and guiding the procurement process. The example I'll use is on lowest price technically acceptable. We've asked for greater guidance. And so if it makes it difficult for the agencies, for our council or others, to write clearer guidance, that may be a challenge. On the other hand, many of these rules ensure that there's a level playing field in the competitive marketplace. And can you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have traffic signs or if we took the lane striping off the highways? In some respects, the zeal for regulatory reform would eliminate a lot of that regulation, not the highway stuff, but take away some of those guideposts. And that is of mixed messaging and mixed opportunities for contractors as well.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. What are you telling members to weigh in, and which ones do you feel that they should add their comments to?
Well, we certainly like the surgical approach, identifying the specific rules and regulations that could be revised or modified or taken away. Many of them have been put into place. Many of the rules have been in place for years. We've long since lost the rationale for doing so. And many of the rules are, quite honestly, not even being followed by the executive branch and the procurement agencies. And we ought to clear those away. We ought to streamline and simplify the acquisition system. greater reliance on commercial items, a greater opportunity for the government to be a smarter buyer. Those are the kinds of activities we need. I understand the value of taking a look at the entire rulemaking process, but for us in the short term, it's focused. We're focused primarily on what are the guideposts and how do you make the government a smarter buyer, the government a better consumer of the goods and services that our member companies provide.
So there's really three channels, I guess, of activity happening here. There is legislation on how agencies go about future regulation. Then there is the Trump executive order on clearing out, if you will, some of the thicket of existing regulation. And then there is the way that agencies interpret the regulations that are going to stick around.
And or add new regulations to take into account statutory changes or changes in the marketplace. Absolutely.
There's activity on the House side, too, from Representative Mac Thornberry, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, is about to do his annual thing on defense procurement. And he's looking at having them buy commercial items on publicly available trading marketplaces similar to Amazon. And that sounds like that could be a really radical change for large areas of the vendor base.
Certainly will have some impact. There's already initiatives underway in the government, both at DOD and civilian agencies, to take greater advantage of some of these commercial marketplaces. Of course, you have the entire GSA Schedules program, which is designed to give the government access to a wide swath of commercial items and services. This would take it a step further, as you said, to look at the government tapping in directly into some of these commercial marketplaces. It's a bold initiative on Mr. Thornberry's part. I think it reflects a frustration with challenge that the federal procurement system has, both in its complexity and its speed of operations, even for a small dollar value or simple commercial items. So it's one worth a fair amount of study. We've been engaged with the committee, Mr. Thornberry, over the past couple of weeks as he's developed that concept further. And we'll be carefully reviewing his legislation as well.
It seems like then that the danger, if you want to call it that, would be the bifurcation of how commercial items are bought on the civilian side and the DOD side. Because on the civilian side, I haven't heard anything about changing the drive toward category management.
Well, there's certainly some of that in the category management. There's certainly initiatives to expand the opportunities for buying commercial items. Some of the legislation that was passed over the last couple of years on a government-wide basis. But you're absolutely right, DOD, interestingly, being a test bed for this kind of initiative. And I suspect if it's expanded, it could very well be expanded to civilian agencies in a very short period of time. But it creates an alternative procurement methodology and maybe even an alternative procurement system. And that brings with it a set of questions about underlying policies, accountability, transparency, and all of those. Those are hallmarks that Mr. Thornberry says are essential even in using his marketplace initiative. We'll have to study the legislation and to see how it would be implemented to see if those objectives can be met.
And the other issue when all of these types of experiments are going, some of which will make it into law or into regulation, is that how much of it translates or trickles down to the contracting officers that actually have to implement it. Sometimes they don't always get the message.
Well, and that's why sometimes regulations are necessary to make sure that those messages are received and operationalized. We've seen other legislation, other regulations that reinforce a set of behaviors, either to reinforce good behaviors that have taken place or to prevent what policymakers believe is the improper behaviors. Regulation has its place. We just want the good regulations.
Alan Chavotkin is Executive Vice President and Counsel for the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Tom.
Find more information and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.